Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us today. And our daily reminder, if you can't make it with us live on the Big X, which is 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and of course for those out of the area, streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. We're available as a podcast. And we're available each and every afternoon as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. So no matter how you have the opportunity to join us, glad you're with us. We talk IU basketball, IU sports, and of course we talk some local stuff here in Southern Indiana as well. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have the Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's how we begin each show. We take a look at some of the news and notes from around the area with Southern Indiana sports and with IU sports as well. And today we're going to kind of recap in our headline segment some things to do with the 2020 class, at least as it stands right now, with Jordan Geronimo, Anthony Leal, and Trey Galloway. We'll take a look at the final player rankings out for the 2020 class. Probably a little earlier, not much, a little earlier than normal because the high school basketball season has been over for such a long point at this time due to the cancellation of most, if not all, state tournaments that weren't already played when the coronavirus pandemic attacked America. So we'll do that in the headline segment. An interesting note on the Big Ten as well as far as incoming recruits for next year. We'll take a look at that. And a good note on Trace Jackson Davis that I wanted to share with you as well. We'll do that and more in our headline segment today. Later in the show, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall always joins. We talk IU basketball, probably get into some of the Big Ten, maybe recruiting as well. And just generally, we talk a lot of college hoops when Alex is with us this time of year. So he joins us in the next segment. And then later in the show, we'll close today with New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre. And normally this time of year, we'd be having some of the local baseball coaches on to preview the big games, the New Albany Jeff, New Albany Floyd, Providence Jeff, Providence New Albany games. We always have the coaches on to kind of stir some interest up in those this time of year. But with spring sports canceled, obviously there's not games to talk about. But Coach Mack is a baseball guy through and through, longtime coach at New Albany High School. And we'll talk about the season not being played, how tough it's been, not just for seniors on his team, but seniors across the board that play spring sports and seniors that, even if they don't play a sport, have lost so much. Graduation won't be the same. All the things that surround graduation, the class nights, the award ceremonies, the graduation parties with families, just not going to happen, at least for most, in the manner that it typically does. So a lot has been lost, and we'll talk with him about that. Also, getting some first-class facilities, I understand, over at Mount Tabor Field in New Albany for New Albany baseball and softball. Those got a little early boost on construction with there being no seasons this spring, and so we'll catch up on that, talk a little baseball in general as well with Coach Mack from New Albany coming up later in the show. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A great deal at Honey Baked Ham right now. If you spend $15 or more at the store, you can buy a large bone-in ham at 50% off. Again, a large bone-in ham at 50% off if you spend $15 or more at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Submit a comment, a question. We might use it on the air. Read your thoughts. Use it for a question with one of our guests. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can also send me a question there, send me a message there. We put updates on the show there. We tell you who's coming on, how to get the podcast, and many other things as well. So follow me there, at Hoosier Hills. All one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. And the show has a Facebook page, so you can like our page, you can follow it there, get updates on the show, links to podcast, and a lot more to help you keep up with everything going on here on the Hoosier Report. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. And don't forget about Zaxby's, with locations in Jeff and New Albany, still open, ready to serve you during this pandemic, one of the great local businesses that helps make our show possible each day. First headline, a look at the 2020 class. I have to say this, as it stands right now for Indiana, as far as their final player rankings, which were released yesterday by 24/7 Sports. And this time of year, you're going to see some of the other big network sites release their player rankings as well. I say it's as of now because Christian Lander of Evansville writes he very likely could be added to this class. If he was added to the class, at least where he's ranked now in the 2021 class, he would be by far and away the highest-ranked player in this Indiana recruiting class, and of course would make their class rank or their overall score, for whatever that's worth, jump way up the radar. But Jordan Geronimo from Up East St. Paul's School in New Hampshire, he is the highest-rated IU recruit as it stands in this 2020 class, the 6'6" forward. He's at number 110 in the country. Anthony Leal from Bloomington South, Mr. Basketball in the Hoosier State, 6'5" shooting guard. He would come in next in the final rankings at number 131. And then it's Trey Galloway, 6'4" shooting guard, of course, Culver Academies, where he plays for his father, Mark Galloway. He's right behind Leal, just two spots, at number 133 in the final 247 Sports rankings for the senior class, the class of 2020. Archie Miller, looking at his analysts of recruiting classes, he's had a lot of players. In fact, if you look back 2020, which I just read them to you, if you look back at 2019, that was Trace Jackson Davis. He was 28th in the country. Armand Franklin was number 139 in the country. And then if you go back to his first recruiting class, Romeo Langford, number 5 in the country. Jerome Hunter, number 51. Demezi Anderson, who recently departed the program, number 100. Robert Fennessy, number 118. And Jake Forrester, number 140. He's had all top 150 players, at least according to the 24/7 Sports rankings, since his time at Indiana. That's impressive. Not all the players have worked out. Some of those guys have transferred. Some are still waiting their turn or trying to earn legitimate minutes on the roster. Perhaps that could happen next season. But still, when it comes to recruiting, Indiana is in the mix for top 150 kids. That's a factual statement, as Archie Miller has had every kid landed so far in the top 150 of these 24/7 Sports rankings. Also, looking at the Big Ten Conference this year, not a single McDonald's All-American headed to a Big Ten Conference team in their recruiting classes for the upcoming college basketball season. That's interesting. That I don't know when the last time that happened or how often that happens. It doesn't seem like, just thinking back year to year, that it would be a common stat that no Big Ten team at all lands a McDonald's All-America. But that candidate or player, that stood out to me. And the highest-ranked player goes to Illinois, Adam Miller. He's from Chicago. He ranks number 32nd in the rankings. A year ago, Trace Jackson Davis would have been the highest-ranked player entering the conference next season or for his freshman season at number 28 in the country. Last year was Trace Jackson Davis. So kind of a good summary for the Big Ten. The conference has been deep. It's been tough. It's been amazing the last couple of years to follow, and I think the conference is going to be really good again this season. But on paper, at least looking at, you know, top five, top 10, even top 20 recruits and McDonald's All-Americans, just not there, at least for this upcoming season as well. One other note on Trace Jackson Davis, and this came out, I believe, sometime last week, but Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, one of the guys that covers college basketball for SI, and of course, this time of year, you get all sorts of way early rankings and player features and top players and top returning players. And again, it's real early to know exactly who's coming back, especially this year with a delayed combine. Very possible the NBA draft is delayed. We think that the deadline for players to declare to stay in or to say they're coming back is going to likely be delayed as well. So it could get even later this year is what I'm getting at. But of the players coming back as of now, of the players that have said they're not going to try the draft out, they're not going to even experiment with that, Wu put out a list of 10 players, top 10 returning players to college basketball, and Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana was number two on his list of 10. Number one is a familiar name if you follow IU recruiting, James Bouknight, who IU very much recruited. He ended up going to Connecticut. And then right behind Trace in the number three spot, David Johnson of Louisville as well. So some local interest there. Of course, David Johnson played high school basketball just across the river at Trinity High School in the city of Louisville. So Trace Jackson Davis, he's high on the radar right now of returning players, as I think Indiana fans have him high on their radar to help lead this Indiana team to what people beginning to sense and think could be very hopeful about Indiana's opportunities to be a successful team next season. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Again, a reminder, Zaxby's has locations to serve you in Jeffersonville and New Albany, and they remain open. I know drive-through service available, and of course, many, many restaurants preparing on Monday to reopen at 50% capacity in the state of Indiana with Governor Holcomb's new back-to-work plan, back-on-track plan for the Hoosier State. A couple other things I wanted to mention. You know, we've had a new podcast in this time. It's the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast. Myself and Chris May, who's the director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, started it, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we've interviewed 8, 9 coaches. We are jumping around the state, talking to some of the top high school basketball coaches in the Hoosier State. We also have interviewed players along the way if they've got a really good recruit or a really good player. We've paired the coach with the player in some of these podcasts. You can follow find them if you follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. We link all of them there. And again, it's had a great response. It's more of a statewide thing. Some of the interviews are with coaches not from this area. But one of the upcoming podcasts is Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. And we had a long chat with Brandon this morning for that podcast, and it'll be available on Monday. I'll remind you how to get it when it comes out Monday. But I want to tell you, we also interviewed Trey Kaufman. We talked with him about his recruiting. We talked with him about what he's been doing to stay busy during the coronavirus. You know, lots of questions about what conversations with college coaches have been like right now, and got to know him a little bit more as a person and as a player. And that's going to be available in that podcast, but I'm also going to play that interview back for you early next week on the show. So if you want to learn more from Trey Kaufman, I often get asked, hey, why don't you have Trey on the program? We'd love to hear about his recruiting. Well, we're going to have the interview. It's about, I don't know, 12, 13 minutes from the Indiana High School Hoops podcast. We're going to play the Trey Kaufman portion of that back for you early next week. So I know a lot of people will be very interested to hear that. All right, segment one in the books. I also want to remind you that later in the show we have our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete that has lost their senior season due to the pandemic that we're currently in. And today we're going to feature later in the show Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville High School, member of the track and field program for the Red Devils. We'll tell you all about Isaac, his accomplishments on and off the field at Jeff High, in addition to our guest today. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, my guest, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter is how you can find all of Alex's coverage of the IU basketball program. And just a little bit ago, earlier this morning, you had the chance to catch up with Deron Davis, one of the outgoing seniors in this IU basketball program from the past season. And, of course, yesterday we talked a little bit on the show about Devontae Green signing with an agency, and curious to hear what Deron had to say about maybe what his future looks like as well.
Yeah, Deron is in good spirits. He is still in Bloomington, but is going to be leaving very soon to go back to Colorado. He's hoping to start his internship there, working with kids, although he's a little unsure about what exactly he'll be able to do based on the pandemic. And I believe he was supposed to be helping out with a lot of camps and things like that. So he's a little bit unsure about how that's going to work, but he's going to start working out again when he gets back to Colorado, he hopes. And he's in the final process of picking an agent, and he's hoping to go play overseas in the fall somewhere. So I mentioned to him when we were talking, I've known him since he was in the ninth grade, and he's always been a very thoughtful guy, always fun to talk to. And so that was one reason I wanted to just reach out and just get some thoughts on kind of how everything ended. And he was open and candid, and, you know, as you said, I got the full story up on the website. But the big takeaway, he's ready to move on. I mean, he's obviously been in Bloomington for 4 years, and I think he seemed to be eager and ready to go on to the next chapter in his life.
And again, you can read that full story interview with Deron Davis at InsideTheHall.com. I want to just kind of go through a bevy of things with you today, Alex. I mentioned in the headlines today that all three of Indiana's players in the 2020 class right now are in the top 150 of the 247 Sports national rankings for that class. Archie Miller, I didn't really realize this. He's never had a player in his recruiting classes thus far that didn't fall within the top 150 of those 247 Sports rankings. As we take a look back on this class, we have spent so much time talking about Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, two players from right here in the state. Not as much about Jordan Geronimo, but know that he is a very interesting prospect and an athlete to watch, I think, in his time at Indiana. How do you judge this class as far as Archie Miller recruiting classes go, and as far as what you think it takes to build a winner in the Big Ten Conference year in and year out?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have that big name recruit that you've seen with obviously the Romeo class and Trace Jackson Davis, although it could, if Christian Lander moves up, have that five-star type of prospect. But I think overall, I mean, given how much Indiana returns next season and maybe how little playing time that could be available for younger players, it might be coming at a good time to have some guys that are going to take some time to develop. I think Leal and Galloway are looked at as four-year players. Geronimo, who knows, how he develops. He's obviously got a ton of upside. Based on everything that's been said and written about him, I've never seen him in person. I've only seen video. But, all three of those guys, I mean, while they could play roles on next year's team, they're not necessarily guys that are going to be, Indiana's going to be relying on a ton to win games. So it could actually be coming at a pretty good time to have a group like this come in and maybe, have limited roles next season, but develop, over the course of the year, and then by the time they're sophomores, juniors, and maybe seniors, have a chance to play a much bigger role. So while it's not that impact class that we've seen maybe in the past couple recruiting classes, I do think it's overall going to be a fine class. And with it, like I said, with what Indiana's returning from an experience and production standpoint, it might be coming at the perfect time to have those guys that maybe are going to take a little bit more time to get better and develop.
You know, one thing has been consistent about Jordan Geronimo, and I'm like you, I've only seen a couple games online, and he's had some unbelievable highlights that he put out, I believe, right after his senior year up in New Hampshire. But even his prep school coach, people are kind of unknown about what he can do in college, and not in a bad way, but it's, I think that they wonder maybe how high his ceiling could be given his body, given his athleticism, given some of the things that he naturally can do.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, we've seen guys come in with, you know, Victor Oladipo is obviously the exception to the rule. I think he was a top 150 type player, but he developed into the number two pick in the draft. You know, maybe the better example of a guy kind of coming in a little under the radar was OG and Anobi. But, you know, you watch the film, and I'm not saying that he's either of those guys or even has a chance to be as good as either of them, but those are the two guys that you think of and say, you know, he's got some of those same characteristics, some of those same traits, some of those same tools, and you hope that over a course of his career he's going to be able to develop. And so it's just always hard to tell with someone that you haven't really seen play. You know, Anthony Leal, you know, I can remember watching him in high school going back to his sophomore year when they were playing at Romeo. I can remember watching Trey Galloway at IU's team camp. I think you might have been there with me, Matt, when he went head-to-head with Jerome Hunter right on the Assembly Hall floor, and thinking, and this guy's, you know, got a chance to be a good player. But Geronimo, we don't know the level of competition he's played up in New Hampshire. Obviously, he played for a really good AAU program in Mash Rivals, and Vin Pastore, who, you know, Coach Noah Vonleh, an AAU, so he's obviously played against really good players, but I'm just interested to see how he fits into next year's team and kind of what his potential is, because everything you read about him is, you know, in the video that you see, you like what you see in terms of the physical tools and the profile, the size, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to, and same thing came to, you know, with Vic and OG, was just a relentless work ethic and a hunger to get better. You know, I think if he has those characteristics, he has a chance to be really good. Not saying he's going to be an NBA player like those guys, but, you know, he at least looks the part of a guy who has a chance to be special.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. Player rankings don't mean a whole bunch. They really don't, but they are fun to look at, and it is fun to track players and how they maybe go up or go down depending on the talk around them and how they step their game up, and in some cases maybe don't. So I always do pay attention to those final rankings for a class before they head off to college, specifically probably more than any others. I was looking at the 247 sports rankings, not just from an IU perspective, but from a Big Ten perspective as well, and I didn't realize this until I read it, but there are no incoming recruits to any Big Ten school, any Big Ten team, that are McDonald All-Americans. In fact, the highest-rated player, according to these rankings, is Adam Miller, who's an Illinois signee from Chicago. He's 32nd in the country, according to 247 Sports. Is it? And I can think back some years, it jumps right out at you, but not having a McDonald's All-American coming into the Big Ten at all, not a Michigan State, not Michigan, not Ohio State, not anywhere, and having the highest-ranked player entering the conference be higher than 30, is that a little different? That's not really standard for the conference, is it?
No, usually there's a couple guys up near the top, maybe not in the top five, but I think Romeo was obviously in the final 247 rankings. I want to say he was somewhere in the top six or seven. I think he was the highest rated, actually, though, I think, in a long time, since maybe Jared Solinger or Eric Gordon. That's kind of one of the things that's been a knock on the Big Ten now, though, for a long time, is they have gotten their fair share of McDonald's All-Americans, you know, one, two, three, maybe every year. But you look at around the country, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, I mean, they're constantly loading up on this top-tier talent, and I think a lot of people point to that as the reason that the Big Ten hasn't won a national title now in 20 years. It's hard to believe, but I think there's definitely a correlation there. And, you know, I think ultimately if the Big Ten's going to start getting those top players year in and year out, you know, those top 10, top 15 players. You know, they need the programs like Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, you know, to kind of carry the load of the conference, because those are the biggest name programs in the league. And those are the, you know, right now I think the programs that are maybe set up for the most success in the near future. So it's an interesting time in the conference. I mean, Illinois is another one. They've recruited pretty well now under Brad Underwood. I think they have a chance to kind of stay in the conversation. As you mentioned, they have Adam Miller coming in this year as the highest rated recruit coming into the league. And, you know, it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's something I've thought about and talked about for a long time, is just the lack of blue chip recruits. And I think this year is probably maybe the most down year that I can remember in terms of not even having a guy in the top 25.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, is with me. He's always with me Thursdays. We talk IU basketball and more in this segment. I asked this next question specifically thinking that Christian Lander is going to join Indiana's 2020 class, meaning he will be able to reclassify at some point this summer and head to Bloomington whenever the campus reopens with Geronimo, Galloway, and Leal. I'm thinking that way. I think we all kind of think that's going to happen, and Christian is pretty much said that that's his plan to make that happen. So if Lander does end up at Indiana next season as a freshman, suited up for the team, he's a nationally rated point guard, highest rated player in Indiana. I think he's 12th or 13th maybe in the one of the latest rankings that I've seen. If he ends up at Indiana next season, it seems to me the roster's awful deep, maybe even more deep than what it's been in any time that I can remember in the first few years of Archie and in the last few years of Tom Crean. It's going to be interesting to see if the Lander thing works out, how Coach Miller distributes and works in different players and minutes and things like that next season.
Yeah, that's kind of why I've been of the thinking that if Lander is going to reclassify, there's going to be no additional guys out of this class, unless maybe there's a chance for a sit-out transfer. I think that would make some sense. Other than that, you know, I mean, they would, if Lander does come, they're at 12 scholarship players. Realistically, when you get into the meat of your season, you're going to play 8 or 9 guys. Do you really need 13 scholarship players? I don't think you do. So, it's going to be fascinating to look at, you know, the potential starters, because Indiana's bringing back all their starters right now on paper. Race Thompson's a guy you look at and say he could potentially be in that conversation to start. Same thing with Jerome Hunter and Christian Lander. So the depth's going to be good. It's going to be pretty intense in terms of competing for playing time. And let's just hope that there is a season, Matt, because I think it's shaping up to be potentially very good for Indiana.
Yeah, Trace Jackson Davis and next season was my next bullet point for you. He, I saw, was number 2 on a list of returning players, at least at this time, to college basketball for next season. And that list could change a little bit depending on what happens with the draft and who comes back. But he is definitely, Alex, it looks like, and rightfully so, after the freshman year he had, he's going to be one of those guys in the offseason for Indiana and for the Big Ten Conference and for college basketball in our part of the country that gets a lot of notability, gets a lot of hype for what I think people expect him to do heading into his sophomore year, maybe even expect from him down the line, whether it's after one more season or who knows, as an NBA-level prospect. And I think Trace's success this year and the praise that he's going to get and the hype heading into next year is going to extra help keep Indiana maybe in the national conversation this offseason.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned kind of his potential to move on to the next level. I was talking to somebody recently who played for Indiana that basically told me that, you know, once Trace develops his right hand a little bit, he's going to be, you know, a first-round pick, maybe a lottery pick. So I thought that was interesting, that was an observation of a former player that's kind of been around and seen guys and played against them. But he's definitely going to be in that conversation for all Big Ten type first team, like going into next season. I've already started to think a little bit about, you know, the top returning players, and, you know, every fall we do our list of preseason top 25 Big Ten players. And, you know, I'm thinking, where's he going to slot in on the list? He's definitely going to be really high. So, it's an important offseason for him. He's obviously got to get stronger. He's got to, I think, continue to work on his right hand. It'd be nice to see him, you know, improve his free throw shooting and be a little bit more comfortable shooting in the mid range. But, you know, he's got pretty much everything you need to be a dominant player. I think, you know, he was already Indiana's best player, I thought, last season. I think, you know, he takes another step forward this offseason. He's going to be a true force to be reckoned with next season in the Big Ten.
Alex, I want to close with this college sports an announcement, a release. I believe it was 9 principals for the NCAA to consider a return to college sports as we know it. They had a bit of a follow-up, a little more in-depth on that plan yesterday. And the way I take it, a lot of things have to happen, some within the NCAA and its member institutions and coaches and athletic departments control, and some of that just is reliant on the rules and guidelines put forth by federal and state governments, and also what a lot of data stuff around this virus looks like as far as cases and deaths and things of that nature. What did you take from their principles and their guidelines that they've put out for a return to college sports in reference to it being possible for fall sports and football, and in reference to it not bumping basketball back or shortening basketball or, God forbid, canceling basketball as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty comprehensive list of things, and I just don't know ultimately who is going to come down to making these decisions. I mean, Mark Emmert is the president of the NCAA, but if you kind of listen to some of the things that are coming out from, you know, a lot of SEC schools have said, you know, that they're planning to have kids back on campus. They want to play football. You know, James Franklin, the Penn State coach, yesterday made some comments in a story on ESPN.com where, you know, he kind of insinuated that he wants to play next season as long as the majority of the conference is able to play, and made a comment basically like, you know, if there's a couple of schools that don't want to play, then don't punish the rest of us and kind of let us play. I mean, the whole thing is going to come down to who kind of takes the lead on all this and figures out when it's safe. This would be a time when there's really, when it would really be helpful to have commissioners that were kind of overseeing individual sports or, you know, different areas of college sports. It just, you know, it's not like the NBA where, you know, you have a commissioner and you have, you know, 30 teams and owners and players association that deals with the owners. I mean, this is a very complex situation when you have over 350 Division I schools in football. Obviously, it's a lot less, but somebody's going to have to make decisions on whether or not the teams are going to be able to play. I mean, if we have a situation where not every state has, you know, state universities with students on campus, I mean, that's a huge obstacle to overcome. There's just so many layers of this, and it's not going to be easy to unravel. So in a lot of ways, from a, you know, sports journalism and reporting perspective, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch it all uncover because there's just so many different layers, and I think there's going to be a lot of power struggles because there's a lot of schools that are going to want to play no matter what because they need the money. And there's going to be some schools in other states where I think there's going to be a lot more hesitant to do that. So it's just such a fluid situation. You look at how much the world's changed in 2 months. You know, college football starting is at least 3-4 months away. So think about how much things have changed in 2 months. That's still a long time away from now. So it's an ever evolving situation. I thought the document was obviously comprehensive and there was a lot of good things in it. To have, you know, all 50 states and all of these universities kind of falling under the same guidelines, I just think it's going to be tough because not everyone's going to view it the same, and somebody's going to have to step up and say, this is what we're doing. And hopefully whatever that decision is going to be in the best interest of everybody.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall with us Thursdays. Alex, you're a big baseball guy as well. We're going to talk some baseball in the next segment with longtime New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre. 2 quick baseball things for you before we let you go. Have you been desperate enough yet to watch any Korean League baseball live on ESPN? And What do you think about some of the rumored reports? It seems to get a little bit more substantiated or a little bit more in-depth each or every couple days when you get another rumor or another update. What do you think about the return of Major League with a spring training, you could call it, in the middle of June, and then a restart of the league in some form or fashion in early July?
Have not watched any Korean baseball. Do not plan on watching any. There's a lot of other things I think I would do before I did that. No offense to people that want to watch that, but just not interested. I don't know any of the teams or players, so it's hard to get into that. And secondly, I mean, I think everyone would be thrilled to see Major League Baseball come back in some form this summer, even if it's obviously an abbreviated season. If we only get 80 or 100 games, I think it'd be great. We'll see where it goes, but I mean, like I said, Matt, there's going to have to be tough decisions made, and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. But I think for baseball, sport in general, if they're one of the first, you know, professional, one of the big leagues in the country that come back, I think it's an opportunity for them to get some fans back, maybe if other things aren't going on. So it's going to be interesting to watch it play out, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some baseball this summer, because I know right now with how few things are going on, I'd probably be tuning into the White Sox games every day.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Check him out, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Alex, as always, thank you.
All right, thanks, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break. We've got a final segment coming up here in our Thursday program. New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre joins us. And it's not going to be the typical conversation that we have this time of year. Normally we're talking about games and the conference and baseball in the area. Of course, that's all called off this year because of the pandemic, but we'll talk about that. And new fields coming to New Albany baseball and softball, and a lot more next with Chris McIntyre of New Albany Baseball. Also, our senior spotlight to close the program will tell you all about a Jeffersonville High School track standout. His name's Isaac Finley, lost his senior year because of the pandemic, and we'll spotlight him in the final segment as well. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment in today's show. We're going to talk with New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre. We also will have our senior spotlight on Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville Track and Field, all coming up in this segment. Coach Mack, welcome to the program. I wish we were having you on to talk about a big game this weekend, maybe a rivalry game that your team would be playing, but unfortunately, because of COVID-19, spring sports and baseball and so much locally and beyond is dead in the water and canceled for the season. You live this every day. You practice with the team. You play games. You work on the field. A lot of time goes into being a high school sports coach, especially baseball this time of year. How weird is it every day to wake up, not go to school and teach class, at least in a traditional format, and to have no baseball activity whatsoever this time of year after years and years and years of this routine?
Well, Matt, it is different for sure. I tell you what I do every day is I think about, well, if we had a game tonight or whatever. One of the weird things is how nice the weather been. We would have only had probably two or three rainouts up to this point, which would be very unusual. In fact, today was supposed to be would have been our Providence game, which is always a good crowd and a big game. And, of course, it's going to be pretty and sunny and 70 degrees. So that's just kind of the way it's going. But, yeah, it's been a lot of idle time. And you're right, the teaching part of it is odd for sure. But we're just making the best of it, and there's really not much we can do about it. We've just done the best we can do.
I can remember I bumped into you mid-March or so, just as this stuff was kind of coming into realization that, you know, that this could get pretty concerning and this maybe could cancel some things. And we shared a brief conversation. I remember saying, do you think this could lead to some postponement of the start of the season, or maybe that you lose some games? Of course, I don't think any of us, even at that point, as we started to get, you know, daily news and hear what was happening in other countries and hear that it had arrived in our country, I think even maybe a couple local cases at that point. I don't think at that point, even us that keep up with things and that were thinking about it realized exactly how much and how quick it was going to affect so many things.
Yeah, you know, when it first started, you know, you thought, well, we might just miss a few weeks of it. And then when they started pushing school back, you kind of started to realize, you know, if there's no school, they're probably not going to play sports. And I think it was around April 2nd or 3rd when they closed everything off, I think, until the end of April, I kind of realized that we're probably going to be done for the year.
Chris McIntyre, New Albany baseball coach, is my guest. I guess if there's any sort of silver lining to this for you and your program, I know your heart goes out to the seniors, and we're going to talk about that in a second as well. But if there is any silver lining, no games means your field is available, which means that a probably long overdue construction project at Mount Tabor Field in New Albany, which used to house New Albany Little League before they moved out Charlestown Road to Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. Construction is full-fledged, moving ahead with what is going to be a first-class baseball facility. And actually, the softball facility will be moved from the Prosser campus on Charlestown Road to be there with the baseball field at Mount Tabor Field. You've been keeping a very close view on that, have been involved in that process, and I know you are thrilled with the progress taking place and ultimately how first class those facilities will be for your team.
I guess if there's any positive to it, is they've been able to start on the baseball field. The original plan was to be working on the softball field and getting it ready. If the season would have gone as normal, to get it finished, and then the concession stand was being worked on, and that was actually going to be open before our season was open or over. And then when our season would have been over, they would have jumped on our field. But once it was canceled, it actually made their job easier, and it's has speeded up the process quite a bit. Anybody that's driven past there lately has noticed that everything's knocked down now. There's no more press box and dugouts. And matter of fact, the first base dugout is just about finished on the baseball field. And so it's moved quick. They're telling us that they're going to be finished with it sometime in July. And I think it's going to be the nicest baseball and softball facility in Southern Indiana. It's people are just going to be floored when they see it for the first time. It's going to be fantastic. It's artificial turf infield, natural grass in the outfield, and they're going to redo our outfield. Softball, they're, you know, obviously building it from scratch. It's going to be probably the nicest softball field around too. Big press box. We've actually got a locker room now. Our kids have been changing in the parking lot for the last 25 years, so it'll be nice to get them off the street to so to speak. But it's well needed. Our guys have had good success, and years before I got there was a lot of success with New Albany baseball, and so we're going to have a nice place, and we're looking forward to it, and we're proud of it.
Coach McIntyre, getting back to this season that was canceled, I know you had some key seniors that had geared up for a big year, and it was an exciting year for what the baseball program could accomplish this season. How hard was it to tell those guys, you know, hey, this is it, we're not going to have a season, and how did those guys take it?
Well, obviously they're all stunned. I mean, who would have ever guessed something like this would have canceled your season? But yeah, they were all heartbroken for sure. We didn't have a ton of seniors, but they all would have played big parts for us. We had Cody Medley, pitcher and third baseman. He's going to Bellarmine. And then Cooper Bivin was a middle infielder. And Cooper had never pitched for us before, but he was going to pitch this year and was really looking good. When we had scrimmaged a few times, I mean, he was almost unhittable early in the season. And then actually my stepson, Tyler Green, pitcher and outfielder, and that one really hurts probably worse because, it's the last time that Tyler gets to play baseball. He's going to go to Butler just as a student. But, you're looking forward to coaching him and being around him every day like that one last time, and then to lose that was just so disappointing.
Absolutely. Chris McIntyre, New Albany baseball coach, is our guest. I know you're a true baseball guy through and through, not just a high school coach of many years, but someone that really enjoys the game. And I know you also have had a lot of fun recently going to visit former players, specifically Josh Rogers, who has had some Major League Baseball pitching opportunities, and you stay in very close contact with him. And I think even you had a trip planned to go spend some time with him down at spring training. I'm not sure if that trip got off the ground or not because of the pandemic, but a little bit about Josh and what he's up to, and obviously everything's at somewhat of a standstill for him. And what do you think the chances are that Major League does come back at some point later in the summer?
Josh is he's back in town. He's obviously rehabbing. He would not have been able to pitch at all this year because he had that Tommy John surgery last year. But I think the plan was for him to maybe throw a little bit in some single A games, maybe the rookie league down in Florida, just to get him on the mound a little bit, maybe in late August and some extended spring training. But obviously all that's going to be canceled and it's changed, but he's on a throwing program and he lifts and stays in shape around here. So really it hadn't changed much for Josh in terms of what he would have been doing, except he just would have been doing it at a little nicer area, Sarasota, Florida, as opposed to here in Southern Indiana. I've asked him about the Major League stuff and they really don't know a whole lot more than we do. I do think that they're eventually will start, but it probably will be without fans for a while, and maybe they'll gradually build in fans. But I just read another story this morning where it looks like July the 4th is kind of their date they're shooting for. So, but you never know. This thing changes all the time, and so those plans could change as well. So I just hope there's some baseball. I really miss watching college baseball as well. I like to watch that as much as pro baseball. So I think at this point we just want to see some baseball again.
Absolutely. Chris McIntyre, longtime coach at New Albany of the baseball team. It's great to have you on. I wish we were talking about that big Providence game that was supposed to be tonight, as you mentioned. I wish we were talking about the season and another great year of teams and individual players here in Southern Indiana and broadcasting high school baseball here on the Big X. Unfortunately, we're not, but great to catch up, and we'll look forward to seeing that new field get completed hopefully very soon.
Yep, looking forward to it, Matt, and hopefully school year will get started and everything will be back to normal then again this fall. So we can only hope.
Absolutely. Chris McIntyre of New Albany. Coach Mac, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.
Absolutely.
All right. See you later.
Absolutely. We're going to wrap things up today with our senior spotlight. We've been highlighting spring sport athletes here in the area that lost their senior season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we profile Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville High School. He's a member of the track and field program at Jeffersonville. Lots of success for Isaac Finley. Two-time state qualifier, three-time all-conference, two-time sectional champion for the 100-meter and the 200-meter. Lots of success on the track, and there's no doubt, Isaac, you were gearing up for a really, really big senior year. In the classroom, Isaac has a 4.8 GPA on a scale of 5, and he's happy to report that he has all A's. As far as away from school and away from sports, he likes hunting, fishing, and also going to church. He wanted to give a couple shout-outs. He wanted to shout out to DT, who I believe is the athletic trainer at Jeffersonville. That's the name they call him, for always helping him recover when he got injured. also to Coach Felix for taking him in as a freshman and helping him grow, Coach Haskins as well for stepping up and becoming head coach and being with him all 4 years. Isaac Finley is the son of Tom and Shara Finley, and after high school and graduation, he is going to continue his track career, which is great to hear that he will get to run competitively again. And get this, he's going to continue his track career while studying mechanical engineering. What a big major that is at Grace College. So hats off today, Isaac Finley, our senior spotlight from Jeffersonville. Isaac, congratulations, man. You were a great athlete. We know the senior year was going to be big for you. We're sorry you don't get that, but we'll be following as you move on to the college level, and there's no doubt that you'll have lots of success at Grace College as well. Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville, our senior spotlight today. That'll wrap up the program. Back with you Friday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories. And thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, T.A. Jenkins, Mitch Craig Heating and Cooling, and UPSJobs.com/Louisville.